I promised he'd be on the line with us soon. He's on the line sooner than usual, and that's a good thing, but he is Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Inquirer. How are you, Lester? Les, you there, bro?
Yes.
How you doing, man?
All right.
You are the man. Appreciate you coming on today, pal. Happy Labor Day and all that good stuff. I read your article. In fact, if you want, folks want to read it, go to philly.com. Les Bowen, he talked about the defense. Les, I want to ask you, first of all, this defense, numbers-wise, didn't blow you away. 23rd overall, 30th against the pass. Takeover numbers were minus six. The points per game, not too bad, like a little over 21, but what makes us think, or why should we think this defense is going to be that much better than they were last year?
Yeah, Joe, I think the thing that they really missed last year that they had the year before, you know, they won a, statistically, they certainly weren't a great defense the year before. If you remember the Super Bowl, they gave up 505 yards passing and 33 points, but they won. And they won because Brandon Graham hit Tom Brady's arm at an opportune moment, and Derek Barnett recovered the fumble.
Right,
that was what was missing last season. They were, I don't have the story in front of me, unfortunately, but I think it was 31 turnovers the year before versus 17 last year, or something like that. And, you know, that's
It was 31 in 2017 and 17 last year. Yep. Very good.
Yep. Okay. So that's almost a turnover a game less. And when you look at some of the games they lost, they had one loss that was a blowout, the one in New Orleans. The others were all 7 points or less. So obviously that was a factor in the season. Which, you know, they ended up having to play the playoffs on the road, play the Saints on the road and all that. So that's really the crux of the matter right there, is getting the stop, getting the turnover, getting the big play that they got in 2017 and did not get often enough last year. And, how are they going to do that this year? Well, I think, you know, we all know they went through 10 corners last year, which is phenomenal. They can hope for a little better health there. And I think they've, Malik Jackson up front is going to give them a stronger push up the middle. Yeah, Rodney McLeod is back. I think they really missed him. Everybody remembers that, disastrous, 4th-and-15 conversion against Corey Graham in Tennessee. So, you know, I think they ought to be better this year, but I don't know that they're going to be a defense that's going to set the standard for the league or anything like that. But with Carson Wentz's improved offensive weapons, we all hope, you know, that's what we've been writing anyway for several months. We'd like to be right about that. You know, they're not going to have to shut teams out, I don't think, but they are going to have to make that key play when time comes. And, you know, there's no way to really know that they're going to do that, but they're in a better position to do that this year.
They may be less, but you mentioned the Super Bowl, and aside from that Brandon Graham play, no one really made a play in that game. You know, that was the play of the game. You know, you can say Malcolm Jenkins taking Brandon Cooks out, possibly, or Jalen Mills tackling Brandon Cooks as he tried to jump over him. It saved what possibly could have been a touchdown. In fact, it saved 3 points, too, because Stephen Gostkowski missed a field goal there. People don't remember that play as much, but I thought it was a big play in that game. They don't necessarily have that playmaker, and Malcolm Jenkins' interception numbers went down. Jordan Hicks, I thought I considered him a playmaker last year.
Right.
But do you think they could have gone out and found a difference maker in one of these areas that they're bereft at?
That's an interesting question, Joe. I don't really know that they could have within the salary cap structure. You know, you mentioned right before I came on that the real question at corner isn't do they have good players. I think when everybody's healthy, they do. They do not have a, you know, Pro Bowl, you know, top five type corner on their roster, and that's something you'd love to see. Maybe Sidney Jones can be that guy. I mean, he has the ability. He's been limited by injuries over the first couple of years. He came in with a torn Achilles, and then last year, his first healthy year, he was really limited by hamstrings that kept coming back and stuff like that. He's he's been healthy this year. He's really tried, dedicated himself to conditioning and all the things that you have to do to avoid those kinds of injuries. He's probably the guy with the ability. Darby maybe has that kind of ability, but he's coming off an ACL, and the first year off an ACL is almost never like a really triumphant.
Right, usually takes another year. Yeah.
Wonderful year. So I'm not really expecting it from Darby this year, but maybe Sidney Jones can be that guy. I don't know, Jeff.
Who are your starting corners right now?
Well, that depends on Darby. You know, he practiced toward the end of the preseason, but he was wearing a big old knee brace the whole time. And
that's
I can't
great.
Believe he's going to play in that.
Right.
If they really think Darby is back and can do everything he did before he got hurt, then he's going to be on one side, and I guess maybe Jones on the other side and Avante Maddox in the slot. I haven't seen enough from Darby myself that I would do that. I kind of would play Rasul on one side and, Sidney on the other side and Avante in the slot and let Darby have a few weeks here to get more ready. But maybe I'm totally wrong about that. Thing about Rasul is Rasul doesn't have anywhere near Darby's speed, but Rasul is a ball hawk. He will come up with an interception. I mean, he intercepted Matt Ryan in last year's opener on his only snap of the game, which is kind of hard to do, you know.
Yeah, it was that awful pass off his back foot that he just lofted up there.
But Rasul plays the ball like a receiver. That's the one thing he's really good at. And, if he's out there, they're going to get more picks. Yeah, they might give up some plays too, but they're going to get more picks. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting situation, and we don't really know. We're going to talk to Doug Peterson later today and see we're not going to really see a practice. They're going to have a practice Wednesday, and maybe as the week goes on, we'll get a better sense of what Ronald Darby's situation is.
Yeah, that's the reason they drafted Rasul Douglas. 8 picks his senior year at West Virginia. I think he had 3 last year for the Birds. He is a guy who can make plays. He is one of their few ball hawks back there outside of Malcolm Jenkins. Les Bowen on the Comcast Business Hotline from Philadelphia Inquirer joining us. Les, I've been talking about this, did it last night, did it the day before. It finally happened and it became official that I could talk about it yesterday, but Seattle Seahawks gave up a 3rd-round pick, an outside linebacker named Marcavius Mingo and Jacob Martin, the Temple guy, to Houston for Jadeveon Clowney, and the Eagles did not get him. We know that. Why do you think, and Howie Roseman did say in his press conference that they look at everything. They look at any possible trades that could be made, every free agent that's out there. And they let it go by the wayside. I don't know if they made an offer or not. I don't believe so. No indications that are there to tell us that. But it sounded to me like one of the reasons, first of all, is probably because they didn't want to sign him long term. So then you think, okay, can you get him for a rental? Because to me, you have a window here. It's a Super Bowl potential run. Mm-hmm. Why not bring him in? It sounded to me like Howie kind of pushed all that aside and said, he backed up Derek Barnett coming off the injury. He thinks he's going to have a big year. And of course, Brandon Graham, who's 31, although they gave him 3 more years, $10 million per, and Vinnie Curry they brought back from Tampa Bay. All combined for 9 sacks last year, which was what they gave up when they gave up Michael Bennett. Don't you think Jadeveon Clowney could have really helped this team? And was it, I don't want to say irresponsible of Howie, but don't you think that it would have been better for the team to make a run at him?
Well, that's an interesting phrase, better for the team. I don't know. On paper, certainly Clowney would add tremendously to what they have. But you worry about, the Eagles are big on the locker room and on the culture and all that stuff. And situations there, one is Derek Barnett, 14th overall pick, has played very well, just happened to get hurt middle of last season. You set him way back if you bring in Clowney and give his spot to Clowney. To some extent, you set Brandon Graham back, and Brandon Graham is, along with Malcolm Jenkins, one of the two leaders of the defense. You just paid Brandon Graham this offseason to be a starter, to bounce back, to have the kind of impact he had the Super Bowl season. So I think you'd be changing a lot of things just by bringing, it's not like fantasy football. I mean, these are real people. And I think you bring in Clowney, you bring in a guy that has superhuman ability. I think everybody agrees with that. But he doesn't, if you look at his stats over the years, he doesn't always play that way. He's kind of an up and down player. People have questioned his dedication. I don't know what that does. Maybe it is a net gain for your team. Clearly they didn't think it was that big a net gain that they wanted to go, really messing with their setup and their leadership and things like that. And, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for now. It wouldn't have bothered me if they had made the trade, but,
sure.
But I think they had their reasons for not doing it, and we'll see. It is notable that if there's a question about the defense this year, it's that they did, the edge rush is so important to what Jim Schwartz does, and with losing Michael Bennett and Chris Long, they're really, they are depending on some things coming through for them. So we'll have to see how that works. But I do think I understand why they did what they did. And I think all along, whether it was Seattle or Miami or whoever, there were always teams that needed Jadeveon Clowney more than the Eagles ostensibly needed him, And that's always, when you look at a potential trade, that's one of the things you look at hardest. I never really thought they were going to get Clowney. And they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't, unfortunately. He's a Seattle Seahawk now. Let me ask you this, Les. We only have about a minute and a half left. I've never gotten to the bottom of why the Eagles gave up Michael Bennett for, I believe, a sixth-round pick to the Patriots. Yeah. They gave up 9 sacks. He was a rotational guy, then started to get more playing time as the season went on and was a very productive player on the field. What's the rumblings about down there at NovaCare? I'm hearing and I've heard that it was locker room issues.
Yeah, Michael Bennett, everybody knows his history. He's an interesting guy. I liked him, but he's a very kind of difficult personality in some ways. He was not at all happy until Derek Barnett got hurt and he started playing a lot more.
Right.
And they couldn't really set that situation up for him this season. They hope Derek Barnett's going to be healthy and play a lot, and they don't need a veteran guy. Who's not going to be real happy if he's not playing a whole lot. And, that was kind of that. Oh. I think that's kind of in a different – Chris Long is a different kind of guy, but he had the same issue. He wanted to be out there. And he was most happy when, Barnett went down and he got to do that. And they couldn't tell him that this year.
Well, that's different than I'm hearing in terms of what I've heard, that he's a locker room guy that kind of affected the culture negatively. Any truth to that?
I don't know. He looks at things his own way. I mean, he would question things that other guys didn't question. I think he was a guy that was kind of out for himself. People felt, you remember when Jason Babin was here, he was a guy that could have 15 sacks and 15 tackles on a season. That was all he cared about. And I think Bennett was a little bit like that, a little kind of worried about his own stats more than anything else. Just an odd guy, just a very, never took the angle that you thought he was going to take when you talked to him. So I thought he was interesting. I thought he was fun to have around, but I can kind of understand. Teams have moved on from him before.
All right, Lester, I love you, brother. I appreciate you coming on, pal. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll keep reading you on Philly.com, folks. If you want to read Les's article, yesterday came out today, was updated this morning at 5 a.m., talks about the defense. You can find it on Philly.com. Les, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
You too, pal. Les Bowen.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.